standing by. Over.
Jeremy and Joe starts now.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Hello, Houston. He's Joe. I'm Jeremy. It's Jeremy and Joe. Brian's here, too. Lots to get to today. Lots to get to. Thursday night football coming up later. Texans offense is the depression in the city,
football,
I guess.
Football.
If you could have him back right now, would you do it? 713-780-3776. You wouldn't?
No, I don't think I would.
Another bad OC is not the answer to your current bad OC.
Because
that's not the point, though.
I wouldn't take him back.
What gives you the best chance to win the next 15 games? Bobby Slowick, Binary Bobby, or Cliche Kalen?
I think it's about even.
Cliche Kaylee Weiss.
God.
All right, I'm gonna bet on.
I'd go Slowick.
I'm gonna bet on Cliche Kaylee, because I've seen how it worked for Bobby Slowick last year, and it never got any better.
Mm-hmm.
And I know if it was here, you might score on the first drive, but we know what the second half is going to be, and we know it's not going to get any better. I have a small.
This is 2025, right?
Yeah.
2023. Which quarterback led the NFL in passing yards per game?
CJ Stroud.
You know, the back of his baseball card.
Mic drop.
Back of the baseball card.
You're going back of the baseball card on us?
Yeah.
Yeah, but then CJ Stroud's still elite.
What's the back of Nick Cayley's card? Once worked with Tom Brady?
I'm betting on Nick Cayley.
Didn't learn anything from Sean McVay? Like, what do you mean?
What's the back of Bobby Slowick? Scores no points in basically the second half of the entire year until the Cowboys game?
What is Cliche Kaylee done?
I would rather bet
I think it's
on...
the same. That's my point.
No,
either
I think Slowick has, I mean, again, this two-game sample. Like, this is a stupid conversation. My bad
you
for leading us down this path. I know, it's my bad. I didn't, this was not planned. But it, actually, Brian started it by playing the drop. I'm a counter-responder. Okay. I only counter-talk. I don't talk. I never talk. I'm just a counter-talker. What?
You always blame everyone else.
I mean, he played the drop that was the genesis of this conversation. If he does not play that drop, we're not having
so
this conversation.
So you'll talk about anything I hit a drop for?
Probably. I'm very impressionable. That is 100%
true. You
should
have said that.
I'm very impressionable. Now, I'm defiant and all of those things, too. But
I would bet on it's getting better with Nick Cayley.
See, I think you're being, like, blind hope here.
Yep. 100%. Look, I'm not denying that.
Look, I don't think Slowick's good, but who would I have more confidence in the next 15 games, scoring more points, racking up more yards? Bobby Slowick or Nick Cayley? This sounds like a Twitter poll. For me, it's Slowick.
I understand where you're coming from, but I would just rather have blind hope for Nick Cayley at this point.
Okay. All right. We'll see what the Twitter thinks. And what are we going to call our listenership now? We need a new cute name.
The Jive. The last one was the Hive.
No,
that doesn't work.
I don't think Jive is good.
No, it doesn't work at all.
It's really
I was
bad.
Trying to see if I could get you to go with it, though.
Yeah. What should we call our listeners? 713-780-3776. I guess I'm asking you what we should call you. 713-780-3776. But we'll talk about that later. This playoff race is starting to heat up, which is fun. Lee Sterling, award-winning Lee Sterling, will join us at 4. Award-winning Adam Ronis, fantasy, betting, all that good stuff. He'll be joining us at 4:30. Lots going on in the NFL. But we begin, sort of, with the Astros. The Astros sweep the Texas Rangers. Killed their hopes, really. I mean, the Astros killed the Texas Rangers 2025 season yesterday. Now, this is like the most Astros thing ever. Like, the Astros are always kind of bipolar.
Yeah.
Like, the Astros always, like, even the years they were winning the World Series, like, they go to Oakland and they get swept right after they went to Seattle and, like, made a reputation of their reputation dogs and swept them. Like, this is the most Astro thing ever. Like, we're going to struggle for 2.5 months. We're going to look lackadaisical offensively. Our bats are going to lollygag. And then we're just going to flip the switch and sweep the Rangers out of the playoff race.
Yeah, it's what they do. I mean, I think they've been swept by the A's every time they've won the World Series. Like, every year they've won the World, or even gone to the World Series, they've been swept by the A's at some point, so maybe that's a good thing for this year. But it's on Monday, it was doom and gloom. Are they going to make the playoffs? Are they going to hold on? Are the Rangers going to catch them? Instead, they sweep the Rangers, and they, again, what you said, they basically have ruined their season, and now they've got a chance over the next 3 days to pretty much ruin the Mariners season, or at least put them in a wild card position.
Yeah,
and more, take more the of division.
That. More of that. Yeah, I don't think that you can ruin the Mariners season. Like, even if you were to sweep the Mariners, you can't ruin their season because they'd probably still make the playoffs as a wild card. Same thing, vice versa. Like, if the Mariners sweep you, don't want to put that out there, but it wouldn't ruin your season either. But pretty convincing series, pretty timely series. 9 consecutive Silver Boot series wins. I'm not like a historian when it comes to the Silver Boot. I think it's a fake trophy and a fake rivalry trying to garner interest between the fan bases to try to get butts in the seats. I don't really put a whole lot of stock in the Silver Boot. Like, I don't think that it's something that matters much. Now, the fact that it was the tiebreaker for the season in case you're tied for a wild card is significant, but I was surprised. Like, again, not a Silver Boot truist here. They've won 9 consecutive Silver Boot series. That's incredible. They're putting the Silver Boot to butts is what they're doing.
Yeah, it has been, you know, a dominant fashion in which they've handled the Rangers in the regular season since 2017. It's just another thing of where they've really put them in the little brother category in a big way. More, probably more than anyone else. Maybe the Yankees are part of this conversation because they've happened in actual meaningful games, not fake series like you're mentioning here. But it's still fun. Like, I think the Dallas-Houston thing, I guess this is Arlington-Houston, is always a little more overblown by some people. It doesn't seem like the rivalry's that big.
Ooh, that's an interesting question.
I think in baseball it matters more, for sure. Football, I think, is overblown.
So there's 3 professional teams in the Metroplex, not including hockey, because we don't have that here. Like, which of the 3 Metroplex teams do you hate the most? Like, if you had to order them, Cowboys, Mavericks, Rangers, obviously what we're talking about here. If you had to put the priority at number 1 being the most hate and number 3 the least hate, how would you rank them? 713-780-3776.
I think the number 1 for me is easy. It's the Cowboys.
Really? Really?
Yeah.
See,
yeah.
The Cowboys don't bother me.
And I know that's like of the 3, like that's the one that the Houston team plays the least frequent, but I think it's just the brand and Jerry that triggers it. I think once Jerry's gone and maybe the brand kind of, well, probably never wear off.
Yeah, but Steven's just the same.
Yeah, but maybe it'll feel a little different, but I think I just grew up with that Cowboys hate. And then Mavericks, Rangers, I think it just depends on who's a bigger thorn in their side right now, so I would probably go for the current moment. Cowboys, Rangers, Mavericks.
See, I think I go Rangers, Mavericks, Cowboys. Mm. I don't like the Rangers.
Can I throw a curveball in here?
Sure.
Can I throw the Spurs in? I know it's not the exact same.
Why would you throw the Spurs in?
Because I feel like
Dallas, Arlington conversation.
See, I feel like people like the Spurs a lot. Like
that wasn't a curveball. You're changing the conversation entirely.
I think people dislike the Spurs more than like dislike the other. I am hijacking it.
Curveball. No, this isn't a curveball.
you took the picture out of the game. Yeah.
I think people dislike the Spurs
you
more
took
than
the conversation
like
from
else.
Here to there.
I understand. Like, I obviously have a different perspective on this, but like, I would say it's probably, from the outside, like where I sit, like it looks like Rangers, Mavs, Cowboys.
Yeah,
we don't play the Cowboys.
I really don't care that much about the Cowboys. I'm kind of entertained by the Cowboys, honestly. Like the drama and the sitcom like nature. I guess it's not sitcom, but the daily drama, soap opera nature of the Cowboys actually entertains me. Now, if they were winning, maybe it's a much different story. Like, if this was the Cowboys, like, whenever they were going to the Super Bowl every year and winning the Super Bowl every year, except for 3, because it's never been done before, then, like, maybe my tenor's differently about the Cowboys. But because they've been insignificant in terms of, like, being a threat in the NFL, I'm actually entertained by the drama.
Well, you play once every 4 years.
Yeah.
At this point, yeah. Maybe it'll change a little bit with the new format.
Currently,
the schedule.
The new format means you technically, I guess you could play every year.
Depending on how you finish.
But it's at least once every 4 years.
So it's like there's nothing there for me. Like,
they don't bother me.
You don't play, unless you play in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Like, you don't play them in meaningful games. You played the Rangers in the playoffs. You play the Mavericks in the playoffs. Those mean way more. And you see them all the time.
Yeah, I would go. So where would you go? Rangers?
Rangers, Mavs. You know what? Yes, but I think the Mavs.
You know why I hate the Mavs? Because I dislike Mark Cuban.
Yeah, but he's gone,
but he's not really.
I know, but
that
he's
much.
Still like associated with them for me.
I think Mavs is going to skyrocket a little bit, like with Cooper Flagg and Anthony Davis and Kyrie Irving. Like, they will be part of the conversation, I think, this year in the NBA, along with the Rockets. Mm-hmm. Like, those games will matter a little bit more outside of the one playoff series with the Rangers, what, 2 years ago or whatever it was at this point now. They don't play in the playoffs either. It's all regular season stuff. So I think Mavs has a chance to go to the top.
And also interest in the Rockets is about to hit an uptick. Yes. So like that's going to add some matter, I guess, some significance to Rockets. Now, if you want to like throw in the Spurs curveball into the mix, the Spurs don't bother me either. Like, I would have the Spurs below the Mavs, and I think I would have them closer to the Cowboys than I would the Mavs. Okay. I'm not bothered by the Spurs.
Yeah, I've never really hated
the
them.
I-10 rivalry, Western Conference Finals, despised the Spurs. But that was a long time ago.
Yeah, the only time I was really mad at them was when Robinson stole the MVP, as you said, from Olajuwon. Like, post that.
Mid-90s at the latest.
Yeah, like, I would have, if we included them, I would have them last.
Yeah.
I would have them last.
And I wouldn't have an issue with that. The Spurs don't bother me. Surprised. So your disdain for the Spurs, what's wrong with it?
I don't like the organization. They've always annoyed me.
Yeah.
Is it Popovich?
See, I have a healthy respect for them. I like their organization. Now, Wembanyama, like, oh, thank goodness I didn't come to Houston. Like, that annoys me a bit, but still not enough to move the needle that much.
I also feel like I still want more from that story. I know there was the clip that's out there that was only shown on, not even on American television, where he was happy he wasn't a Rocket, but we didn't get anything out of that. Like, it doesn't bother you at all that he's working out with Dream?
I don't love that.
Yeah, I don't love that either.
No, I really don't love that.
I don't love that in any context of any sport.
But Dream's worked with lots of non-Rockets. I mean, he's worked with Giannis. He's worked with, I think, Amari Stoudemire in the past. He's worked with other non-Rockets.
Yeah, but never like a rival. Well, I guess Kobe was a rival.
Yeah, he worked with Kobe. Yeah, that too.
Kobe was a rival. They would come to his little ranch in his basketball arena.
I mean, if you got it, you might as well use it.
Yeah. Yeah, hard agree regarding the Spurs. Cowboys and Mavericks suck as much as we do. Spurs had a dynasty, then get Wimby, come on. So he agrees with you.
It might be the lottery luck for the Spurs, honestly, that annoys me.
Well, you can say the same thing about the Mavs.
I know, yeah.
Although I think that the fix was in there.
Yeah, there's like one. I mean, well, we feel like the fix was in for the Spurs as well with David Robinson.
Yeah, they tanked to get their lotto balls. Whereas the Mavs, Duncan. The Mavs did a solid for the league in L.A., to get the number one pick of the draft. Rangers won that playoff series, !! I hate the Spurs more than I hate the Rangers. So, yeah, there you go. all that from, I don't even know how we got there either. What did you think of Christian Javier last night? Did you see the IFBs? The IVBs, my bad. IVBs were through the roof.
They're through the roof.
Literally.
Tell me about them.
You want to hear about the IVBs?
No, we want to hear about the IVBs. 30 seconds
left. Tell me about the IVBs.
No, cut Joe. Don't do that.
We don't pay attention to a clock. Four fastballs from Christian Javier had a 20-inch IVB, induced vertical break.
All right.
Christian Javier has to live there. But Christian Javier had a 5-pitch mix last night, guys. A 5-pitch mix. This is a guy who usually has a 2-pitch mix prior to this year. He, like, got Tommy John and learned how to pitch a little bit. He threw 10 curveballs yesterday at 3,000 RPMs. 3,000 RPMs, elite movement. You know how many he threw of 3,100 or more? 4. Christian Javier's stuff last night was nice. He had 2 sweepers, Joe, with a horizontal break of 20 inches.
I think that's how we start the show every day.
He's Christian Javier is doing, like...
It's about time. When he was just a 2-pitch guy, it always felt like it was unsustainable. And it got you a no-hitter in the World Series was a huge part of that. But it was always like, if Christian Javier is going to take the next step, he has to add to his arsenal.
Yeah.
And it seems like what you just said is, while he was out with Tommy John, there was preparation of adding to his arsenal. It means the height in which Christian Javier can be as a pitcher is immediately raised
invisible.
With the arsenal. If you have the invisible, you have a curveball, all the other things that you can add to an at-bat, it's all good stuff for Javier. Yeah. He looked good last night.
Like, I will say this, like, it seems like every at-bat for him is a struggle. Like, he doesn't instill a ton of confidence in me, I'll be completely honest. Like, I'll take the line score that he had last night every single time the rest of the year. If he's going to go 6 innings and give up 2 runs the rest of the season in every single one of his starts, wouldn't we all take that? I know it doesn't really round out to a great ERA, but wouldn't we all take that with what we've seen over the last couple of months with the Astros pitching rotation? If Javier went 6 innings, 2 runs every single night, however he got there, we would all take it. He doesn't instill the confidence in me. But the line score was good, and I do like this 5-pitch mix. 42% fastball, 18% sweeper, 16% the changeup. He threw the knuckle curve 15%, the sinker even 9%. And you're right, though. Like, what it does, it gives you a way to combat hitters, combat lefties, combat righties. A lot of these hitters are sitting on the invisible. You drop in a little sinker.
Especially because it doesn't always work.
Yes.
We've seen Christian Javier go out the invisible is not good, and he gets rocked in those performances. You have to have other things. So this is... Yeah, I think he doesn't. You're right. He doesn't instill confidence. He's your game 4 starter in a playoff series right now. But I think it gives some hope again as he becomes what, a $30 million a year payroll guy?
No, he's season? Not making $30 million a
23?
Year.
Is it 23?
Well, I mean, it's AAV.
Yeah, I know, but his payroll is 23.
I mean, that's what's coming out of Jim Crane's pocket, but the AAV is what comes out of the luxury tax. I thought that he gave him a sweetheart deal. Like, he gave him a team-friendly deal. He gave 5 years, 64. What does that average out to? Like, a little under $13 million?
I think so.
Where did you get where'd you get 30 from?
Well, his payroll. Oh, I guess it's cash is $21 million next year.
He's going to make stuff up now?
I thought it was 30. It was 20. That was close.
Not close.
Not close at all, Joe.
$10 million off.
Early car wreck of the day nominee.
That's fine.
Joe Math is back.
Joe Math is good.
What is that? That's like you give him a 33% raise.
You know what?
Javier. Yeah, Javier Station needs to talk to Joe.
Team player over here. Love Christian Javier.
Get your bag. Get your bag.
The luxury tax is under $13 million. Like that's a back end of the rotation starter. Like, I mean, and look, the line score was good yesterday. I do like the pitch mix, the command. Everything's a little nervous. Makes coffee nervous, but settled into that game. Pitched pretty good. 713-780-3776. It is the HRMP listener line. We'll talk about the race that the Astros are currently in, and then also the approach they had last night against Jacob DeGrom. Did Carlos Correa fix the Astros' approach at the plate? 713-780-ESPN, the HRNP listener line. We're on TikTok at Jeremy J. Branham. Joe, do you have a TikTok?
At Joe George Radio.
At Joe George Radio. He's on TikTok. Brian was user-generated. No way I'm ever remembering that. We're on YouTube at ESPN Houston. We're on Twitter at ESPN975. Joe's at Joe George Radio. Brian's at Sack by BMAC. I'm at Jeremy Branham. We are Jeremy and Joe on ESPN975 and ESPN925. If you're in the market for a new vehicle, you need to listen up. Listen closely. Monument Chevrolet is the dealer that you can trust. Why? Well, they're transparent. I'm not going to hassle you with pricing. Dealing with car dealerships is stressful. It is no fun for anybody. Monument Chevrolet alleviates all that stress. They make it easy to deal with. It's why they've been around for 50 years, and it's why people love them. It's why generations of families keep coming back to Monument Chevrolet, is because they trust them. They're transparent. Not going to hassle them. They have the answers to all of your problems. So if you're in the market for a new vehicle, Monument Chevrolet is the place to be. Family feel there, friendly atmosphere. They hire great people, which leads to a fantastic culture at Monument Chevrolet. You can feel it too. The moment you step foot on the lot, you can feel that culture. The moment that you walk into the showroom, you can feel it. People are greeting you along the way. They're the very, very best. And the vehicle of the week, the used EVs. Yeah, here's a fantastic deal that not a lot of people are talking about. Used EVs. Right now, Monument Chevrolet has pre-owned Chevy Bolts on their lots at a fantastic price. These cars have brand new batteries. They're quiet. They're comfortable, and they're priced starting at just under $15,000. What a value. If you purchase the vehicle, too, before September 30th, you qualify for an EV tax credit. Those tax credits are going to end soon. You have to buy before September 30th, and why not a Chevy Bolt? That is the best. Get a fair deal, a fast deal, and an easy deal without wasting your time in aggravating stressful negotiations. No tricks, no time wasting, no hidden charges. Get out to Monument Chevrolet 225 at Beltway 8. Check out their entire inventory, or you can visit them online at monumentchevrolet.com. monumentchevrolet.com. Chevrolet, together, let's drive.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. This is Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Junior Bronco said the listeners should be called the Junkies. It's not bad.
It's not bad.
It's probably the smartest thing that dude's ever come up with. Junior
yep.
Broncos. He also wants to call this show, what is it, Branham and Bartman?
He says that look like Steve Bartman.
The Junkies is pretty good. That might be the leader in the clubhouse, Junior Broncos. That is solid. Another texter says the average Joes.
Dodgeball reference.
The Junkies, the average Joes. Neither one of these are like positive. I would say that. We'll see. We'll see how it goes.
How do you feel about average Joe, since that's my name and not yours?
Didn't think twice about it.
You sure?
Yeah.
But that's only – yeah, because that's only implying that you're average, not that Jeremy's average.
Yeah, if anything, it's offensive to me. But
I think it's a compliment.
That I'm average?
Depends on the perspective, I guess. Texter, Joe has blind hope and Kaylee has blind play calling. Probably true. Well, the Kaylee front.
I have blind hope.
Cliche Kaylee is what I'm calling him. Eric says – actually, this texter says – 20 million to 30 million is a 50% raise.
Not a 33%, like you said.
I did, I was doing 2 divided by 3. That was my bad. But it should have been 10 plus, the whole thing. I get the math now. I didn't really in real time. But you got to remember something about me. I was once a math major that fell out of the program.
You never said that part.
Well,
of
I might have embellished the last part.
Okay.
No, I didn't fell out of the program. Yeah, I was a math major for a semester.
At U of H?
I was a math major for a semester. And I was like, I don't want to do this. Isn't for me. What am I going to do? Teach math? Like, I don't want to do that.
Accounting?
Well, no. Why would I? Then you would major in accounting.
That's true.
Like, math made no sense. I don't know what I was doing. I don't know why anybody let me
do
it.
What else would you do with that other than teach?
That's it. I think that's it. Maybe you could. I don't know. And I'm not that good at math, as you can tell. Like, I don't know what I was doing.
Probably a smart decision to bail.
I have no idea what I was doing. Maybe one of the worst decisions I ever made. It wasn't the worst decision. It was only 3 months or whatever. 713-780-3776. So there's a lot of thought because the Astros offense is clicking. They did good yesterday. They forced DeGrom to throw like 37 pitches in that first inning. What was it? 37, 38, mm-hmm. Something like that. Upper 30s. Yiner Diaz, which in my opinion was the biggest hit of the game, because it's great to force DeGrom to throw nearly 40 pitches in the first, but if you get nothing out of it, it feels a little wasted. Like, yeah, you're going to chase them out of the game earlier, and yay, like you get to their bullpen quicker. But I felt for that first inning to really be a great inning, you needed to put some runs on the board. And so Yiner comes through with the two-out, two RBI single, you score two, all of that. And then all the chatter is that it's the new approach at the plate that has turned the Astros season around. How much are you buying this?
I mean, I'm not, because I mean, I guess if they're finally doing it, but I don't get what took so long, because this is something that Joe Espada discussed openly at the end of last season after they got knocked out of the playoffs and before the start of this season, that they had to have a better approach at the plate. That's why they went out and got Isak Paredes, to get more patience at the plate and things like that. And they haven't really executed that all season. I think Jeremy Peña has been better this year at that, but Yiner Diaz hasn't really got on board with it. So, if it's finally working, good. But what took so long?
Yeah, I'm not buying it. I think it's a nice story. Like, oh, look, Carlos Correa was calling for a team approach and all of that. Carlos Correa also, like a week and a half ago, said that you have aggressive hitters and you can't take the aggression out of them. Like, we're just ignoring that. Like, that's why it's like kind of – it's a cool story to read. Like, yay. Is it significant? Is it tangible? Is it real? I don't think so. For me, it's more about the confidence. Yes, you want to look like this. But why did they look like this now and they didn't for the last two and a half? Carlos Correa has been here since August 1st. Like, he's been around for a little bit now. So, like, why did it take so long? I don't think it has anything to do with, like, you know, Correa saying they need to be a team-minded thing. Or, yes, the approach is better, but why is it better? Is it Correa's words? I don't think so. Is it Cintron Snicker? I'm sure they're trying to get to this point. But for me, it's confidence in its form. Like, whenever an offense is playing well or an individual player is playing well, they start seeing things better. They start laying off tough pitches that aren't in the zone. They start attacking pitches that are in the zone. Is that because they're being, like, you know, they're being guided better, they're being tutored better, or is it because they're finding their form? I think it's way more about the form, the confidence, getting into a groove than it has anything to do with Correa's words and then also ignoring the aggressive words that he said 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, it's, and the confidence one is, I think Jose Altuve, we're seeing that, Yiner, we're seeing that, where they just look more comfortable in every at-bat. And Jacob deGrom hasn't been his best version of himself this season in recent stretches, but you have to go out there and you have to, Jeremy Peña said it last night too, you have to get them to throw pitches in the zone. That's something the Astros have struggled with all year, really for like 3 years now, basically, at this point, where they're just not being patient enough at the plate. They're swinging and missing at stuff that no one should ever be swinging at. Hopefully this is a sign of things to come. This is the start of the lineup collectively just starting to take better at-bats. Mm-hmm. If that can be that, then I'll give Carlos Correa all the credit in the world. If he wants the credit, they want to give it to him, fine. He can have it.
Yeah, I'm not falling for
you
that.
You miss his leadership.
But this is the offense you were hoping you would get. Like, it's starting to get to that point where, okay, all right, I can see it here. I can see the vision. I can see how they're going to be a tough lineup to pitch to. I see how they're going to be a tough out in the playoffs should they get to the playoffs. Like, they're rounding into form, in my opinion. And then you have some guys coming back, potentially, hopefully. Isak, maybe, as soon as this series. Although, that's going to be interesting. Like, he goes from hitting off of, you know, simulated pitching or, like, low-level pitching to, here's the Seattle Mariners in a pennant race. Like, that one's kind of curious. And, look, he's not going to play every day, but still kind of curious. And then you hope you get Yordan back at some point, too, obviously.
Yeah, I just don't know how that the math works with that. If they're both back and neither of them can run, I don't know exactly how the Astros are going to handle that. But the nice thing for Isak is that at least you play the Angels and the Athletics after this Mariners series, so it's like facing minor league pitching.
Touche. Yeah, so. Maybe give him one start against Seattle, and then he can figure it out against the Angels and the Athletics. It's a good question you bring up, though, because my answer, if neither one can play the field, and I don't think that they've ruled out either guy playing the field. I heard Dana was talking to Sean saying, like, yeah, you know, we might start him off just as a DH, but we think that we could potentially get him in the field at some point. I don't think they're ruling out Yordan in the field in the postseason. Like, they didn't put him on the IL because they're hoping that he can be back in the 10 days. So I don't think they've completely ruled that out. But if we do it for the practice and the exercise, let's assume neither guy can play the field. And then Jose Altuve, who probably shouldn't be playing the field. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he would be. Like, how would you line it up most days?
So Yordan's your DH every day still. I think essentially if Isak can't play on the field, he's essentially a pinch hitter. I mean, coming in the eighth and the ninth inning, you know, it's what other role could you use him in? You're not going to play him at first base, like so he doesn't have to run.
Yep.
You don't really have an option. So if only one of those guys can be a DH, if they both can only be a DH, then you want Yordan Alvarez's bat out there. He's not obviously a reverse splits guy. He's good against lefties and righties. Maybe, you know, if they're both back, let's say by chance for the Mariners series or whoever they're playing in the wild card round. Maybe Yordan plays two of the games and Paredes plays one of them. But for the most part, Paredes is just a really veteran bat to come in for like Jesus Sanchez in the eighth inning.
Yeah, I think it's a good question, but I think it's a simple question. Like, you're not benching Yordan. If Yordan's available, he's your DH. So if he's your DH and Isak is not capable of playing a position, he is a late inning pinch hitter. Like, that, you're looking for a spot to use him. There really is no other answer. Now, let me throw a curveball now. Let's say that he can play first, Isak. Yordan can't play the field. Isak can play first.
Then he plays first.
And you're benching Walker?
Yeah.
There you go.
Now, the other
thing, really not all that difficult to answer.
Well, we don't know Isak's form. Like, I think it's...
Yeah,
I think,
okay. I think in the hypothetical, he's capable of playing it.
I just think it's very far-fetched to be like, oh, yeah, you're Isak, who hasn't seen major league hitting since June or whatever.
Yeah.
You're just going to plug him into the lineup, and he's going to be the same guy. Like, but that's unrealistic.
Did you see what Joe Espada said about Isak Paredes on the base pass, though?
Yeah, he doesn't want him going full bore.
So that makes me feel like he can't play in the field. Like, if you're if you're not going to ask him to run 100% to second base, like he's playing station to station, he's probably also not out at, you know, second base.
I've been calling for Yordan to go station to station for 3 years.
Yordan just doesn't listen.
I want Yordan to be a station to station guy. If there is going to be a play on Yordan Alvarez, you should not send him. And I think that's what Tony Pérez Chica was thinking the other day when he sprained his ankle in the play. He's like, oh, I'm pretty sure he's going to score here, but I don't want to risk it. I don't want him to draw a throw. I don't want him to slide. I don't want him to not slide and sprain his ankle on home plate. I'm going to hold up the big fella. The big fella said, I do what I do. Yordan rules. No one slows me down.
He's still second base at rehab starts. You're not stopping him in the pros. He's going to do whatever he wants.
So weird.
He's never going to change.
No.
Ever.
He's an enigma. People don't like when I say that, but he is. Ocho Branham, let's talk about who didn't come through at the plate before Diaz. Worthless Walker. I know that Ocho would take Isak over Christian Walker. He says that he doesn't trust Javier either. Doesn't instill confidence. He says, give me Costanza. That's fair. Heather, Yordan will likely struggle more with torque from his ankle while swinging at the plate than he will running a linear motion. That's way over my head. I agree with you, though, Heather. I do think that because it was also the right ankle.
No,
it was a left ankle.
Left ankle.
I don't know if that's good or bad for Yordan, because Yordan does kind of swing off the front foot more than you would expect from a power hitter. I don't know.
But even if it...
Hopefully he's just being a big baby and it's not that bad, and that's why they didn't put him on the IL.
Even if it is bothering him, though, like, isn't it 70%, 60% Yordan Alvarez better than pretty much whatever else is going to be at DH?
Yeah.
Like, even if it's Victor Caratini or, you know, I'd rather have 60% of Yordan out there as a DH than anyone else.
That's a good idea.
You take what you can get at that point.
No, I would too. Texter saying, what if we call the listeners the juggernauts? We want to be realistic. We want to be honest. Texter saying, how about the listeners the jury?
I like the jury.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's kind of cheesy.
So junkies is leading the way right now.
I like junkies more than jury.
Junior Bronco also said the junkyard.
Oh, that could be like the place where you listen. Like they're the junkies as they listen from the junkyard. Yes. Oh, man, this is getting better.
That has potential.
It's really bumming me out because Junior Bronco doesn't like me.
And then we got like the junkyard dog.
Good ideas.
I know. I know. It's paining me too to like give all this praise to Junior Broncos. I feel very uncomfortable doing it. Texter says that the Junkies is a sports morning show in D.C. Yeah, we copy stuff all the time, though. That doesn't deter me at all.
Who cares?
And we're an afternoon show.
I would care if we copied someone else in the market, much less a station in D.C.
Every now and then we call ourselves the J-Team, so I'm not really worried about the Junkies thing. But thanks for the heads up, sincerely. Thank you for that. All right, 713-780-3776. What do you think was the most important thing offensively yesterday, Joe?
I think Jose Altuve, honestly, just getting back in his groove, what we've seen over the last couple days. He just looks more comfortable at the plate. We're seeing the pop come back from him. Because if you're not going to have Yordan Alvarez, and you're not going to have, who knows what you're going to see, what we're just talking about with Isak Paredes, you need someone to step up. And Pena and Correa have been awesome. I mean, Correa's batting average is up to .295 on the season. Compared to where he started when he got here after a season with the Twins, to where it's got now is remarkable. But without Yordan, like, you need Jose Altuve to be Jose Altuve if you're going to make a run in the playoffs. So while the Yiner point you pointed out about him coming through in the first is important and it adds to this team, you need Jose Altuve to be the Hall of Fame player that he is if you're going to make a run. So that to me is the number one thing from last night's game that stood out the most.
Yeah, big picture, I would agree with you. It heightens your ceiling in the postseason if your little engine that could becomes the little engine that could. 713-780-3776. How about this this American League race? You know, didn't think a bye was in play. But suddenly a bye is in play. Could the Astros actually avoid the wild card series where they've never, ever won a series in franchise history? 713.
Never quit.
There you go. That's the inspiration echoing through the city of Houston right now. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
A beer, a space, a place for everyone. That is St. Arnold. Right now at St. Arnold, you can have your private events there. We just had the listener party there about 2 weeks ago now. It was fantastic. We had about 250 people there in the end. And the best part about where we had it in the beer hall, it didn't feel like it was packed at all. There were so many people, the food vendors, everything. There was still so much space for all of us. Of course, you've got their full list of beers that are there on tap for you. We've also got the wine, the cider, and the root beer for the people that don't drink as well. I've heard it's very good. I saw BMAC drinking some the other day on Friday. So you can book your event now at the St. Arnold Beer Hall. For holiday parties, whether it's holiday parties, you got weddings, whatever you want to do, you can do at St. Arnold. And right now, if you mention ESPN or My Name Joe, you can receive their brewery game package for free at your event. That includes dartboards, Jenga, cornhole, pool table, and of course, as a bonus, the photo booth. Just get started now at StArnold.com. Click on private events. That's StArnold.com. Click on private events.
Do you have the ESPN Houston app? Download it now in your app store.
You are listening to Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
What's up, junkies? It's Jeremy and Joe.
That felt good.
Sounds about right.
I hope you're enjoying your day in the junkyard. I think it's going to be a thing. I think we're going to make fetch happen here, Junior Broncos.
The junkyard, I think, sounded less natural when
I was trying to be a little awkward there.
I think it was your delivery, not to call you out, but it was your delivery.
Honestly, I was being a little bit goofy.
Okay.
I was kind of intentional. I'm going to start saying that when I do things weird. I did it on purpose. Keith from L.A., what happened to making the station more about football? Keith from L.A. is sour about his Angels, I guess. He's sour about Clayton Kershaw announcing his retirement. What do you mean? Where did you hear that from? We do what we want, when we want, until they say something about it.
I think it's because people don't understand bits.
What do you mean?
Well, I told you guys to talk more football.
Oh, yeah. We haven't done that in a long time, though. That was probably three months, maybe.
Yeah.
That was
a June thing, wasn't it?
Really funny, though.
Like May, maybe June?
Yeah.
It was whenever Joe went to the Barrett Sports Conference, whenever that was.
Oh, yeah. That was the inspiration. Yeah. I forgot about that.
Which I think was in May.
Yeah.
Joe, tell us to talk more football.
Yeah. That's what we did. You guys did it.
I can't play the open now anyway, but yeah, it still exists.
Oh, yeah. Pretty good. So I think that, I don't think this, I know this. The number two seed is back in play now for the Astros. I actually had this thought last night, but since then, the Tigers lost another baseball game. They got swept by the Guardians. That is all of a sudden a race in the American League Central. Mm-hmm. We don't really care so much about the race. We care more about could the Astros be a top two seed in the playoffs, avoid that gimmicky, fluky, stupid wild card series that the Astros went 2-Q in last year. Because the Tigers, who have now lost three in a row, swept by the Guards, the Astros, who swept the Rangers out of the 2025 season, have now pulled within one game of the Detroit Tigers for the number two seed in the American League. It does have to be noted that Detroit does own the tiebreaker on the Astros.
Before, I probably would have told you I didn't care too much, but I think now with Paredes nearing his return, he could be back tomorrow, and then this Yordan Alvarez part of it, having the two seed locked up, not having to play for, you know, 5 or 6 days, whatever it is, after the regular season ends, it does just add to what the Astros can be. Even Josh Hader talking about his potential return as well. Like, you have three guys that are injured that could be a factor in the postseason. And if they're a factor, if one of them is a real factor from the start of the postseason, that's a W for the Houston Astros. So, yeah, chasing down the Tigers is now, it is very important.
You bring up great points about the injuries. Like, Yordan, Isak, Hader makes it more important than it already is. And I hate the wild card series. Like, you play 162 games, you qualify for the postseason, and it can be over in two games. I hate a five-game series. I think all baseball series should be seven-game series. I hate the five-game division series. So the fact that they have a three-gamer, I cannot stand. I want to avoid that at all costs. Obviously didn't go very good last year for you. I'll be honest. I gave up on it. I gave up on the chances of the Houston Astros being a top two seed. I was clinging on to playoff life when it came to the Houston Astros. I had forgotten all about it. I hadn't paid attention at all about the top two spots in the American League up until yesterday. And all of a sudden, the Astros are knocking on the door.
Yeah, I mean, the Tigers are falling apart. The Mets have not been good this year. They lost a series to them. Then they lost a series to the White Sox. They did win a series versus the Yankees. And then they lost a series to the Marlins, and then they got swept by the Guardians. That's two teams that are the worst teams in baseball, the Mets, who are struggling, and the Guardians, who have won 9 of their last 10 now and are really in the thick of this on both the Central and in the wild card. Mm-hmm. They're falling apart, and they're lucky because Skubal, like, he started today, but he had an injury scare.
Yeah,
they're not in good position. They're playing their worst baseball at the worst time of the season.
Could it cost Hinch the manager of the year?
Yeah.
Huh.
It might already have.
Huh.
I think it's,
yeah, maybe it was Schneider.
Yeah, yeah, because the Blue Jays are so, like, I think they're like 5 games above the Tigers at this point. I think it's kind of a lock at this point.
And didn't he win it last year?
Hinch?
Yeah.
I believe so.
And you don't typically win it back-to-back years.
Is that something that doesn't happen? I don't know. I don't keep up with managers of the year.
Honestly, it feels right what Joe said.
You're like, probably right, but yeah. I don't know.
I'm assuming I'm right here.
Who would have possibly won it back-to-back years? Maybe Joe Torre back in the day?
Dude, this is not a conversation I am capable of having.
That's not fair.
A manager of the year historian by any stretch of the imagination. But the Astros pulling within one of the Tigers. Now, I don't know if I want to call it a bad thing, but I guess maybe worth noting is that the Astros, because the Guardians all of a sudden have been very hot, are now just 2.5 games clear of the Guards. The Guards have the tiebreaker on the Astros. In fact, the Astros don't have the tiebreaker on anybody except the Rangers. They can get it with Seattle. But while you've pulled closer to the 2 seed, the Guardians are kind of right on your heels, just 2.5 games back suddenly, and they have the tiebreaker. Now, good news, Boston lost today. So you're a game ahead of Boston on the American League playoff race. Bad news, Seattle won, so you're tied with Seattle entering this three-game series. The season series is tied entering play tomorrow, so this series will determine not only who leaves Houston in first place in the American League West, but it'll also determine who has the season-long tiebreaker, in which Major League Baseball no longer has game 163.
You could be the 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 seed at this point in the playoffs. You're only a game and a half back of the Yankees as well.
Yeah.
So you can – the Astros really control their own destiny in every facet of what the playoffs could be. I mean, it's if you're going to play on the road, I'd like to see them go to Yankee Stadium, to be honest with you. I'd like to hear the boos for Jose Altuve when he's going deep and Carlos Correa. But this next series, it's – the baseball races this year are awesome. This has been, when they talk about expanded playoffs, like this is why they do it, because of all these scenarios that you just ran through with the Astros, that anything can happen in the next 10 days.
Yeah, it can. And the good news, I guess, like the big picture good news, like when you're looking at the Detroit thing specifically, is that their last 9 games are pretty interesting. They begin a 3-game series tomorrow against Atlanta, which, okay, they're not very good. They should at least win that series, should, but you pointed out that they have been playing bad baseball and have lost to worse teams than the Braves over the last month or so. They close the year with 3 games in Cleveland, which you're chasing the Tigers, Cleveland's chasing you, so it's good that they're playing each other because they're going to hopefully like cannibalize themselves, or one gets cannibalized. And then they close the season at Boston, who you're right in the mix with too. So the whole premise here, I guess, from an Astros perspective, is that Detroit, Cleveland, Boston all kind of like beat each other up and they can't chase you. Boston, they have Tampa starting tomorrow at Tampa, the little minor league ballpark. They're at Toronto next week, and then they're home for Detroit. So their schedule's pretty tough. Cleveland's at Minnesota, then Detroit, and then they actually close the season with the Rangers. So you kind of want the Rangers to stick around a little bit to make that series, like, you know, worth it for the Rangers.
Because that's when we're like, they definitely, if DeGrom is scheduled,
yeah,
if they're out of it, he ain't pitching in that.
Like, the Rangers winning the next, you know, like going 4-2 or something in their next 6 games is probably in the Astros' best interest.
Mm-hmm.
So that last series, Guardians-Rangers, has some playoff implications, and like the Rangers have to try.
I mean, they're playing the Marlins in their next series, and then the Twins.
They should take care of business.
So
there,
they should be able to, in theory,
yeah,
take care of business.
And you have the Rangers are the only team you have the tiebreaker on currently. You know which? Do you know what's stupid about this, by the way? Because I looked this up earlier because I didn't know the tiebreaker after head-to-head. Do you know the second tiebreaker head-to-head from teams that are not in the same division?
Isn't it your record in your division still?
Yes. How dumb is that?
Yeah.
How dumb is it that the Tigers and the Astros, who are a tied head-to-head, 3-3, how dumb is it that intra-division record is the next tiebreaker after that?
It makes no sense.
It's so dumb.
It
wouldn't matter in this case, because if it was intra-league, the Tigers' intra-league records were still way better than the Astros. But it's weird.
It is weird.
What a weird tiebreak.
I'd also prefer run differential before I took what they use now. Like, why would it matter what the Astros have done in the AL West when you're comparing them to the Tigers? I'd rather have run differential.
I would go intra-league.
Yes.
Intra-division.
That would be one.
I don't love
two,
the run differential thing because, like, I don't want to worry in game 99 about throwing a mop-up, you know, reliever. Like, I don't want that to matter.
Yeah. Because it shouldn't factor in.
But it'd be your third tiebreaker.
But I don't. It would be your second in your scenario.
Well, head-to-head, then what your American League record, then run differential.
Yeah. I think I do prefer it over two teams in different divisions being a tiebroken with their intra-division record. I think I would take run difference over that. So if you want to go third, head-to-head, intra-league, run differential, I'm okay with that. Now, if it's in division, I think it should be intra-division.
Yes,
but when it's out of division, why?
Yeah,
why?
If anything, why isn't it just like, why isn't your division against that team's division? It's like, what is the Astros record win percentage against the AL Central versus what is the Guardians win percentage versus the AL West? Because then it kind of compares and contrasts like the quality.
That
of
would
the
make more
votes.
Sense.
Yeah, it makes more sense. It's probably more complicated to keep track of all that stuff from like our perspective, but the numbers are all clearly right there.
It's just a click of the button. A little expanded standing, no problem.
So where are the Astros going to finish?
I think they're going to win the division and go in second place.
Okay.
And avoid the wild card. That's me being wishful. I hate doing prediction stuff.
I was going to ask.
I'm not a predictor.
That's why I asked.
I'm a reactor.
I know you don't like doing it, so I'm going to make you do it now.
713, I was just going to break. 713-780-3776, HRP listener line. 713-780-ESPN. Coming up next, Jeremy and Joe. Let's talk about the Texans here. Where do you actually believe this offense can improve going into Week 3 against Jacksonville? Where are the areas of improvement that can actually happen? 713-780-3776, Jeremy and Joe, ESPN, 97.5, ESPN, 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Now back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios with Jeremy Branham and Joe George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
It's the J Team. The Junkyard should be the name of the show. Not Jeremy and Joe. That's what we're told it's going
to
be.
That's a lot of work to change it again.
No, I think the Junkyard is just the place where we go to talk sports. You and I are in the Junkyard. You listening in the Junkyard. You in the Twitch and the YouTube in the Junkyard. Watching on Twitter in the Junkyard. Callers, Junkyard. This is the Junkyard. Just a bunch of scraps and pieces that nobody wants anymore. Yeah.
That's really mean to say about me.
Well, I was saying about both of us. And Brian. Brian's included. And all the everybody is involved in this. If the Astros get the 2 seed, Joe Espada should absolutely get manager of the year with all the injuries he's had to deal with. I wouldn't be mad at it. Like, I'm not going to die on that Tails Hill. Like, I think it would be warranted. I don't think Espada is a top 5 manager in the American League, just going off of managerial prowess. But in terms of the job that they've done this season, if they got the 2 seed, they win the division, Tigers fade, injuries, projected war, Fangraphs, all of it. I would be totally okay with it and probably deserved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's very well deserved if they get the 2 seed.
Yeah. All right, 713-780-3776. Where can the Texans actually get better this week? Where do you believe this offense can improve this week against Jacksonville and Duval?
I think the number one thing is just knowing the protections and is the operation of all of it. Like, that's the basic stuff. It's the stuff that should be the easiest to get better at, is getting to the line of scrimmage on time, having an idea of where the ball needs to go quickly when you're going to face pressure. That stuff should be able to be fixed. I also would like to see a repeat of what we saw last week, which is the scripted stuff working as well as it did in the first drive. That does matter, because if the scripted stuff doesn't work, then nothing else is going to work. And it worked last week, but didn't work in week one. So that's a follow-up. Like, that needs to go well again. But just the operational stuff needs to be better in week three.
Yeah, I completely agree. That would be the first thing that I would go to as well, but to be different. I'll just go quick passing game. Like, give me a little quick passing game, man. Like, Nico Collins excels there. Get him involved there. Christian Kirk, who plays the adjuster in the Houston Texans offense.
It's not a great name.
The adjuster in Nick Cayley. Well, I mean, it's cliche Cayley.
They got to work on that.
It's cliche Cayley. Yeah. What'd you expect?
He's got to work on that. That's not a great name.
What'd you expect from cliche Cayley?
Maybe we can help out. We found a name for our listeners in, what, 10 minutes?
Yeah, well, I mean, Junior Broncos, it's on the payroll, I guess. I want quick passing game for me, because I don't love the whole C.J. Stroud running and escaping all the time. I was looking at something today, some random graphic, like that ranked the offensive lines in week 2 of the season based on whatever metrics, IVBs probably. The Texans were middle of the pack. They were middle of the pack. Like, that's fine. Like, the Texans offense was one of the worst, if not the worst offense in the entire NFL last year. They were not good in week 1. If you're middle in the pack every single week, that should be good enough. That should be good enough. Those are my expectations. So, quick passing game, Nico, Kirk, what do you think, Brian?
I like, this goes back to a conversation we had yesterday, but I like to see Nick Cayley start to, as Mina Kimes would call it, hit some of the easy buttons. Use more motion, use more RPO, use more screens to Nico. Find ways to, create targets for Nico without having to run like a 20-yard post and that CJ have time to hit that. Like, there are so many different ways where they can kind of just make things easier in CJ. Like, the motion, you can figure out if it's zone or man. Like, a quick screen or RPO, give something. One, you could avoid the pressure with the screen, or with an RPO, you give CJ options to where, he can make a couple different decisions and make the defense wrong, like, no matter how they line up. So just unlock some of the easy stuff for CJ.
Well, apparently motion is something they're only going to use sometimes.
Yeah,
so.
I hate that.
He Stroud. Said, "He said, quote, there's some games we may use it more, and there's some games we may might not use it as much. It's week to week.
Yeah,
motion should not be a week-to-week game. Yeah. How it, look, there are a lot of things.
It's not in his offense. It's very clear.
Like the Falcons, week one, they barely hand the ball to Bijan. Week two, they fed him the ball nonstop. I'm fine with the week-to-week game plan approach for how you attack teams versus like run, sure. Maybe outside zone, inside match zone ups. Pass. Yeah. Motion is not a part of that, Nick. Like, there's no way you should say, well, this week we just don't feel like motion's that effective. Well, are you going to pass the ball? Don't you want to find out if it's man or zone?
Well, your offense coordinator is Kaylee Weiss. I don't know what you're expecting there, Brian.
More is what I'm expecting.
Six spots that need to improve. Center. I mean, Andrews might play.
Yep,
he's practicing.
Positive.
Tackles. I thought the tackles were better this week.
I did,
with
too.
Ursary. Ursary at left tackle is clearly better than he is at right tackle. Now, Cam at left tackle, I think, is better than Titus at right tackle, so that's the trade-off there of making sure Ursary's at his best position. The guards, Ed Ingram was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Laken Tomlinson was equally bad-tastic.
Yeah.
And then running back, he says. Running back's going to have to be Woody Marks, unless Joe Mixon comes back.
Oh, that's a good one.
Any of us agree with?
No Dare, more Woody.
So I think that's actually going to – well, I was listening to D'Amico with Rock and Roll and John, and he said that he's going to trust Chubb more in pass protection. So I think the third down running back is actually going to be Chubb and not Woody.
Well, sure. That's fine. As long as Dare's not on the field on third down.
Fair. I can live with that as a compromise.
But then it's going to be all Chubb all the time?
That's better than Dare.
Or is Dare going to run the ball instead of Woody Marks too? Like, if Chubb needs a spell.
See, I think Woody's going to spell him.
I hope so.
But I don't think it's going to be like a designated third down back. I think it's going to be more, okay, Woody, this is your series. Like, I think they're going to split. No, I don't think they're going to split series. I think Woody's going to have a few series. But I don't think Chubb's like going to always be coming off the field on third down. Texas can bring in Hugh Jackson as a consultant. I'm good. Line can get marginally better. And now that Kirk has risen, maybe that's the turning point. Maybe so. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Steve, you're in the junkyard. What's up, Steve?
Yeah, so Mike, I'm a first-time listener. I listen to you guys all the time. First time I decided to call in and have an opinion on something. Would you think Woody Marks would be a better running back than Chubb? Because it seems like he gets more yards than Chubb does. The second question I have is Kirk actually going to increase the wide receiver thing with a quick slot that he runs up in the middle and that type of thing to get us maybe a touchdown or two that we're not getting at this point?
Got it, Steve.
I'll shut up and listen, and thanks, you guys.
Don't be a stranger to the junkyard, Steve.
I think we'll see more Woody Marks as the season goes along. I think it's in the best interest of the Houston Texans that Woody Marks establishes himself as the best running back on the team by the end of the season, and he just needs the opportunity to prove it. That one pass he had, that's the quick out that he took way off the field, like that's not something that Joe Mixon or Nick Chubb.
I mean, Chubb had a big one in the first possession of the game. Remember, he got loose down the right sideline. But, I mean, it was a screen, not a pass route. Yeah. But I agree with you. I'm just, you know, being nitpicky because that's what I do. I agree with you that Woody Marks has to be your best running back if Joe Mixon does not come back by the last month of the year. I think right now they're similar in terms of production. Different players, but similar production. Although I saw something with Nick Chubb today that he's like one of the worst running backs at yards after contact the first 2 weeks of the season. But I digress. By the end of the year, if Mixon does not come back, Woody Marks has to be running back one because his ceiling is higher, his potential is higher. He's more talented than Nick Chubb is at this advanced stage. But I'm okay easing him into it. Like, I'm okay, you're going to play every fourth series. You're going to play every third series. Then you're going to play every second series. Then you're all of a sudden going to surpass him. I'm okay having the slow buildup there, though, because I don't think that the gap is crazy yet. And as far as Kirk, I think Kirk can only help. I mean, Justin Watson was playing a lot of the adjuster position for you. Like, Kirk is a huge upgrade there, no doubt about it.
It's not even, I mean, Christian Kirk coming back. If it doesn't look better with Kirk, then why is he here?
Now, the difference being a touchdown or two, I think that's way too lofty.
That's a big ask.
Yeah. Now, better, yes. That much better, I think it's lofty.
I think the biggest difference there is, where we'll notice is on third down.
Yeah, can he
adjust? Like if a guy in a short area third and four. Can he get open quick? I trust Kirk over a guy like Hutchinson.
No doubt. No doubt. All right, 713-780-3776. We love you. We want you to win a bunch of money. So because we want you to win a bunch of money, Lee Sterling, Paramount Sports, with his Picks of the Week. It's coming up next. It is Jeremy and Joe on ESPN 97.5. Football is here. We're in the thick of football season. Love it. Underdog is the place to be during football season, too. They're the place to make picks. They're the place to win money all season long. Playing Underdog is fun. It is easy. You're going to pick whether your favorite players will go higher or lower on a bunch of different stats, like touchdowns, yards, interceptions even. They have it all. Also new to Underdog, you can pick teams now on Underdog. Pick whether you think the Texans are going to win on Sunday in Duval. If you think that Jacksonville is going to win their home game, get your picks right. You can win up to 5,000 times your cash, too. And you can play with as little as $1. You know what's going on tonight on Underdog? Profit boost. Not only just a profit boost, a 75% profit boost. What are you waiting for? Download Underdog right now. How do you feel about Tua? Higher than 233.5 passing yards. They're going to be losing. The game script will dictate for him to throw the ball. How do you feel about James Cook? Higher than 1.5 receptions. Also, Underdog, they love the customer. They love me so much. They supercharge my payout today without even me having to ask. Love it. So much to play. So much fun to be had. So much money to win. They still got the drafts on Underdog. You have the originals. You can be drafting right now. You know I am. How about the streaks? I'm playing the streaks today. I got James Cook higher than 68.5 rushing yards. I have Tua higher than 233.5 passing yards. Download the app today. Sign up with promo code KILLERB to score $50 in bonus funds when you play your first $5. Promo code KILLERB, KILLERB. Millions of fans have already won billions making picks on Underdog. Will you be next? Underdog, make picks, win money.
Must be 18 or older and present in Texas. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/play and get terms _DFS_.html for details. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.org.
What's your name?
ESPN 97.5, KFNC 97.9, HD2, Mont Belvieu, Houston.
Presented by Zadok Jewelers.